So turn with me to Matthew 25. We're doing a whole series, and this is the last section. So Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Well, we are continuing our series in the 5 teaching blocks in Matthew's Gospel, which he started over a year ago. We do a separate section just before communion every month. We're now in the last section of the last teaching block. And Jesus is teaching his disciples now through parables about the importance of being ready for the second coming of Jesus. And being active for Jesus while we wait for his return. So the challenge this month is to be ready for the second coming of Jesus. And next month, the challenge is to invest your time wisely before Jesus returns. Not just enough to be ready for the second coming, but to invest your time wisely before Jesus returns. Now this month we will learn from the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, and next month we will learn from the parable of the talents. So they're kind of both important, being ready for the second coming Jesus and occupying your time wisely until he returns. We've already covered the signs of the second coming of Jesus and learned about the great tribulation period. And of course, these signs will only be relevant to born-again Christians before the second coming. Now, the rest of the world are going to blame global warming or some president or world leader for the things that will happen prior to the second coming of Jesus. They're not going to acknowledge that it is preparation time for Jesus coming back until Jesus returns. So there's going to be all these things happening. Nevertheless, Jesus took time to deal with his second coming and the signs of it in great detail. Therefore, it's going to be very relevant to the generation that will be around when these things happen. It's nice to know about it, but if we're not that generation, it may not be relevant. But what is relevant is that we're ready for him and we occupy ourselves doing the right things. The parable of the wise and foolish virgins does need a little introduction. First of all, we need to understand something about Jewish weddings of that day. Well, in Israel at this time, virtually everybody in a village or in a neighborhood would be involved in a wedding celebration. These were not large towns as we know them. They're kind of small communities. And there would either be a participant in the wedding or they would be an invited guest. So it's important that we see the context of what Jesus is teaching, so that we can perhaps understand it a little bit better. A Jewish marriage consisted of 3 parts. The first is the engagement. Now, using that word, it's not like an engagement that the way we use it, but this was an arranged by the father of the bride with the groom. It was kind of like a contract, an agreement with the families of the bride and the groom. Sometimes this happened many years before the couple met. So it's kind of, could you arrange, it's kind of an agreement in principle. And then the second stage was the betrothal. That's why Mary and Joseph went through a betrothal. And this is when the bride and groom exchange vows in the presence of family and friends. And at this point, the couple were considered legally married, but their relationship could only be broken off through a divorce. But at this point, the couple didn't live together. The groom would go away and establish a trade, build a house, prepare everything for his wife, and that could take up to a year. So there's the first stage, this agreement, then this kind of second stage, this betrothal, but they still weren't living together. Now, the third stage of the wedding was the wedding feast and the wedding banquet, as it was called. And after this celebration, the couple would then live together as man and wife. So very different from the way that we do wedding celebrations. The celebration would last about 1 week. It would involve the whole village or town. The bride and groom would parade through the streets, proclaiming that their wedding feast was about to begin. In fact, in some Eastern countries, they do something very similar to that. In fact, in France, they go around in a car and honk their horn and make a huge noise. Anyway, the procession was usually at night when they did the announcement. There were lamps and torches used by the wedding party to illuminate the way and attract the attention of people. And at the end of the wedding feast, the best man would join the hands of the bride and groom and consummate the marriage. Okay, so that's the context of the situation. Then the couple would leave at the end of the feast and live in a new home together. Now, it was at the final stage of the wedding that the context for our parable is provided. Okay, the final stage of the wedding, which is very important. Now, the parable can be divided into three sections. That's what I'm going to do this morning. The first section is verses 1 to 5, and these are the wise and foolish virgins, or we could call them the bridesmaids. Okay? Now, we're introduced to 10 young ladies who went out to meet the bridegroom. Okay, they were part of the wedding celebration, and there they are. They went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of these ladies were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. The wise ladies realized that it was prudent to take with them some spare oil in a container, and the foolish ladies just filled up the lamp and off they went. They didn't care about the future. Now, as you can see from the pictures, some oil lamps were quite small and basic, and you'd probably run out of oil in about 3 or 4 hours. So it wasn't a wise thing to just fill up the oil and go. And the text tells us that the ladies all went out onto the streets at night expecting to meet the bridegroom. Unfortunately, the bridegroom got delayed. Perhaps he was invited into someone's house for a hot drink. We don't know. And we don't know what time the ladies went out. But let's just say they went out about 8 o'clock. Well, after about 2 or 3 hours, the ladies were tired. It was clearly summer. So they laid down somewhere and they went off to sleep. But I'm sure for safety and comfort, perhaps they kept their lamps burning. So that's the story. Now, what can we make of this parable so far? Well, we know that there are 10 virgins in the story. We all know that a virgin is a woman who has not had sexual intercourse with a man, and sexual purity was considered essential in those days prior to marriage. So remember the context, total purity before marriage, before you get married. Now we know that the Bible teaches us that God is holy, and he can't be in the presence with unconfessed and unforgiven sin. We also know that the number 10 was considered by Jewish people to be the number representing completion. 10 men were required in order to celebrate the Passover. That was the minimum amount, otherwise it couldn't go ahead. That was completion. 10 men were required to establish a Jewish synagogue as a place of worship. And finally, 10 men were required to give an official wedding blessing. And there were other Jewish things that required 10 men, but I just highlight those. So Jesus chose carefully the number 10 to establish the importance of the parable. Now, the number representing completion was the key, okay? That's what the number was all about. At the second coming, Jesus will complete the work that he began at his first coming, okay? Jesus began his work, but he will complete it at his second coming. And the work of Jesus actually continues now through his disciples, and that should be us. Jesus came, died on the cross, left the work for us to continue, and then he's coming back to complete the job. Later, Jesus will complete his work himself at his second coming, which will involve judgment, as we will see next month. So Jesus describes 5 of the virgins to be foolish and 5 of them to be wise. Now, the only difference between the virgins was that 5 of them made simple preparations to make sure that they had enough oil to last the whole night. That was the only difference in the story. The 5 other virgins didn't bother, even though oil was cheap and readily available at this time. The ladies went out to get more oil. So the ladies that went out to get more oil thought about the future and the possibility of needing more. They gave a little bit of thought to the situation. People today don't think about eternity. They don't think about death. They don't think about the future. They live for the moment. So these 5 ladies, these foolish ladies, they only lived for the moment, for the here and now. Now, olive oil was in abundant supply, so it's not a problem to obtain the oil. Now, it's a wise person that prepares for the second coming of Jesus. The facilities are here. There's an abundance of Bibles throughout the world. There are many churches that people can attend, and there's much gospel literature throughout the world. However, many do not take the time to read the Bible. Even some Christians don't read the Bible. Attend gospel preaching churches where the Bible is taught, and consider the words of Jesus. So basically what the Bible teaches is that it's a foolish person that makes no preparation for the second coming of Jesus. So the question that I need to ask is, have you made, or what preparations have we made for the second coming of Jesus? That's a big question. What preparations have you made for the second coming of Jesus? Now, the most important preparation is spiritual purity in our lives, okay, represented by the virgins. This can only be done by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. He is the one who has made the provision. He is the one who has taken the punishment of our sins by dying on a cross. Jesus is the only person who can make us pure and holy in God's eyes. No other person, no other religion, nothing can wash us clean. Only the blood of Jesus. Now, the reason he is the only one is because he is God in human form. Now, this might be difficult for us to understand because Jesus is often described as God's Son. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses can't accept this, so they downgrade Jesus to a mere human created by God. But the Bible teaches us this is wrong. It says in John 1, verses 1 to 5, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Unfortunately, the Jehovah's Witness translation changes that to the Word was a God. But in the original Greek, there's no definite article, and they've been prosecuted for that. And I challenged a Jehovah's Witness once about it. He said, yeah, but they were let out of prison. I said, but they were still wrong. Anyway, they change it for that Jesus was a God. In other words, he was created. So it says here that he was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word, that's Jesus, gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. That's wonderful. Also says in 1 John 5, 20-21, and we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God, because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God, and he is eternal life. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your heart. Okay, now if we haven't put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ for our salvation, then we're like the five foolish virgins. Time's going to run out one day for us. And that's the first thing, is the bridesmaids, verses 1 to 5. Then we have the bridegroom in verses 6 to 12. We're told in verse 6 to 12 that there was a great cry heard at midnight. And the voice said, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Big shout, okay? Now all the ladies woke up from their beauty sleep when they heard the cry. They immediately trimmed their lamps, which was a simple operation of just cutting off the burnt wick. And the foolish virgins awoke and discovered that their oil was just about to run out. So they requested more oil from those who had come prepared. However, these wise virgins told the foolish ones to go away and buy some themselves. They didn't want their light to go out, and it was only midnight. So they needed all of their oil. They were prepared for the whole night, and they needed all the oil they bought. Now the foolish virgins went away into the town to buy some more oil. However, while they were away, the bridegroom came, and five wise virgins went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was closed shut. Too late. When the foolish virgins returned, they were unable to obtain entry into the wedding feast. The foolish virgins were too late. It was now impossible to enter into the wedding feast. But what about the application of the second half of this parable? Well, the first thing we note is the time. It was midnight. Now, in the Bible, the children of Israel began their journey out of Egypt at midnight. Midnight was the time of God's judgment. Exodus 12:29-30 said, At that night at midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn sons in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn son of the prisoner in the dungeon. Even the firstborn of their livestock were killed. It happened at midnight. God's judgment came. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the peoples of Egypt woke up during the night, at midnight, and loud wailing was heard throughout the land of Egypt. There was not a single house where someone had not died. Judgment came at midnight. Now, midnight is a time when most people are sleeping. The significance here is that Jesus Christ will come at a time that he's not expected, and certainly not welcome. All of the passages connected with the second coming of Jesus tell of his sudden and unexpected return. The second thing we notice is that these wise virgins could not help the foolish virgins. The foolish virgins had ample opportunity to get their oil from home, but they didn't think about it or even care enough to think through for one night. the foolish virgins made no preparation for the future, even though they knew that the future would come, they would need it. Now, we live in a time of grace. Okay, we may not realize this, but there's a certain time in our life, and that is a time of grace, when anyone can put their faith and trust in Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Now, this is a gift from God. You don't earn it, and you can't earn it. God is willing to give you this gift now in this particular time frame. It could only be for today. We don't know what's happening tomorrow. It's God's gift for you, but it's a gift that needs to be received. And the only time it can be received is now. Because the Bible says, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6, 1-2, it says, we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So today, if you are convicted of your sin, then today you need to ask Jesus to forgive you. You need to give your sin to Jesus, and he will take it from you and give you his holiness, and it will not be a burden to be a Christian. It will be a delight. Don't let the devil tell you that it will be a burden. It will be a delight. The burden is what you're carrying now. However, be warned, because the time will come when the day of grace will end. And for you and for me, that could be tomorrow. We don't know. Please make preparations for the second coming of Jesus, and please make them now before it's too late. In verse 12, we're told that the person on the other side of the wedding banquet door said to the foolish virgins, I do not know you. So to be a Christian, you have to have a personal relationship with your Creator God through Jesus Christ. Not legalism, it's not mental, there's a personal relationship required. Because Jesus is the ransom price that was paid to set us free from the bondage of sin. So the question is, do you want to be released today from that bondage of sin and have a personal relationship with Jesus, or are you happy to be held captive by your sin? Matthew 20:28 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom. He is the price that's been paid by God to rescue you. Then finally, we have the warning in verses 13. Finally, Jesus tells his disciples to watch, because they do not know the day or the hour that he will return. Now, it's a Japanese tradition, I'm told, when meeting somebody, to arrive 10 minutes early so you're always on time. Okay, it amazes me. Usually Japanese people, you meet them, they're always on time because they get there 10 minutes early. However, as we don't know when Jesus will return, we need to be on time by trusting Jesus today. Well, 32 years ago, I was working as an evangelist with the Faith Mission in a small mining community just outside Edinburgh in Scotland. It was a three-week mission, and it was my turn to lead the service to choose some songs. Now, during the day, for some reason, I kept hearing the words, be in time. Don't know where they came from. And I started singing a tune to that song, be in time. Now, I couldn't remember if I'd ever heard these words before or the song before. Probably not. Very old song. So I looked up through the Faith Mission songbook, and it was there. So I felt maybe this was God's choice and not mine, certainly not my choice. So I chose that song to close the meeting at night. So at the end of the meeting, I announced the hymn, and everybody started to sing the hymn, Be In Time. However, as I looked out, there was one lady with floods of tears, and she couldn't sing that song because she was crying so much. And I thought, oh, I wonder what's happening there. And after the meeting, she and her husband invited me to their home for a cup of tea. They were called Mr. and Mrs. Scott, David and Betty. And the lady explained to me that when she was a little child, who used to live in Aberdeen in the northeast of Scotland, her father used to sing her the song, Be in Time. And she realized, for the first time in her life, that she'd never trusted Jesus to be her Savior. And I asked her if she wanted to do it that night. And she broke down in tears and asked Jesus to forgive her for her sins. And that night, she began her personal relationship with God. Her husband also prayed to receive Jesus into his heart, and his face afterwards was shining with the glory of God. I've never seen that before. He prayed, and as he came up, his face was shining just like Moses. It was amazing. Now, this couple, I think, are now in heaven, unless he's 102 and she's 97, but I doubt it. Couple are now in heaven because they were just in time. He was 70 then, and she was 65. They weren't young. Now, I thought you might like to hear the words of the song, Be in Time, because they're very challenging. I've missed out verse 3, but it's an easy tune, and I think we're going to sing it later. This is the song, Be in Time. Life at best is very brief. Like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed. Be in time. Be in time. Be in time. While the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate or no open door, and your cry be just too late, be in time. Fairest flowers soon decay, youth and beauty pass away. Oh, you have not too long to stay, be in time. While God's Spirit bids you come, sinner, do not longer roam, lest you seal your hopeless doom, be in time. Sinner, heed the warning voice, make the Lord your final choice, then all heaven will rejoice. Be in time. Come from darkness into light. Come, let Jesus make you right. Come, receive his life tonight. Be in time. Make sure that you are in time. Put your faith and trust in Jesus today.